It's Monday of the second week of Advent. Welcome to today's AdventCast. This is Father John Solster.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light.
From Advent to Epiphany by Father Patrick Troadec. After considering Jesus as judge last week, let us see him this week as Savior. He wishes indeed to come into us at Christmas to transform us into him more and to conform us to his image. God could have become incarnate immediately after the fall of our first parents, but he did not will to come to earth right away, so that man might realize the state of disgrace into which he had fallen by sin, and so that God, his Savior, might be desired, begged for, implored. For centuries, the just of the Old Testament sighed ardently for the coming of the Messiah. The expectation of the Savior gave rise to great desires in the patriarchs, the prophets, and all the saints of the Old Testament. Today, we in turn must stir up in our souls a holy desire for God, and if God does not immediately answer our expectation, let us avoid falling into the snare of impatience or discouragement. To that end, let us learn to practice patience throughout our day. Too often, the ease of virtual technology together with the consumer society infect us with a terrible capriciousness. We want everything right away, here and now. So let us take advantage of Advent to sanctify our waiting, whether it be at the doctor, in line at the store, at work with our colleagues, our employer or our clients, in our household tasks, with the children, in traffic jams, in front of a broken computer. Let us turn our waiting into an occasion to exercise patience, and let us desire even more during Advent the coming of Jesus. Lord Jesus, in this time of Advent, I feel increasing in myself the desire to welcome Thee. Today, I want to make that desire concrete by living close to Thee while I try to exercise patience. From Joseph Cardinal Zen's Advent Reflections. The liturgical color of Advent is purple, which is also the color of Lent. Purple bears the meaning of repentance. We generally understand repentance as we suffer to make up for our sins. In fact, repentance is primarily an internal conversion. St. John the Baptist cried out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing and turning back are the fundamental meanings of repentance. We must come around, trust God, and recognize him as the Lord. Does suffering have no connection with repentance then? Repentance entails suffering. When people sin, they do not offend God for no reason. To be tempted is to face a choice, whether we listen to God or pursue an illusory good, that is, an action or enjoyment that we think can satisfy us. When we sin, we know that the act or enjoyment or its influence or ways contradicts God's will. Yet we still want it and shut our hearts to God. To repent is to admit that we have made a wrong choice and to reopen our hearts to God. We welcome him as our Lord again. The things that we have pursued and enjoyed still have their attractiveness, however. If they have become habits, it is more difficult for us to get rid of them. This is why we have to suffer hardship. Our suffering is of no use to God. All he wants is our love. But for us, suffering hardship is vital, for we can forge ourselves, liberate ourselves, eliminate obstacles, and follow God attentively by suffering. To ensure success, we not only give up sinful behavior, but also sacrifice willingly some pleasures that are not sinful. In fact, all those who pursue ideals suffer hardship, for they want to be free to pursue their goals. No pain, no gain, as the saying goes. Suffering is a tool by which we prepare the way of the Lord in our hearts and make it straight.